From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Call to be saints. We are very apt to regard the apostolic saints as if they were saints in a more special manner than other children of God. All are saints whom God has called by His grace and sanctified by His Spirit, but we are apt to look upon the apostles as extraordinary beings, scarcely subject to the same weaknesses and temptations as ourselves. Yet in so doing, we are forgetful of this truth, that the nearer a man lives to God, the more intensely has he to mourn over his own evil heart, and the more his master honors him in his service, the more also does the evil of the flesh vex and tease him day by day. The fact is, if we had seen the Apostle Paul, we should have thought him remarkably like the rest of the chosen family. And if we had talked with him, we should have said, we find that his experience and ours are much the same. He is more faithful, more holy, and more deeply taught than we are, but he has the self-same trials to endure. Nay, in some respects, he is more sorely tried than ourselves. Do not then look upon the ancient saints as being exempt either from infirmities or sins, and do not regard them with that mystic reverence which will almost make us idolaters. Their holiness is attainable even by us. We are called to be saints by that same voice which constrained them to their high vocation. It is a Christian's duty to force his way into the inner circle of saintship. And if these saints were superior to us in their attainments, as they certainly were, let us follow them. Let us emulate their ardor and holiness. We have the same light they had. The same grace is accessible to us. And why should we rest satisfied until we have equaled them in heavenly character? They lived with Jesus. They lived for Jesus. Therefore, they grew like Jesus. Let us live by the same Spirit as they did, looking unto Jesus, and our saintship will soon be apparent.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, "The Free Offer of the Gospel." The text is found in chapter 9, verse 30, through chapter 10, verse 21. As Dr. Cairns has demonstrated from Paul's writings, God's offer of salvation is sincere, and it is simple. However, as simple as the gospel offer is, it demands a perfect righteousness. That righteousness cannot be obtained by any work, such as attempts to keep God's law. It comes by faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, "The Free Offer of the Gospel."
We're in heaven because we deserve to be there. Not that we did the deserving. We received the deserving. You see, you don't get into heaven without merit. But the glory of the gospel is that the merit you receive is the merit of Christ, and it is the gift of God, and it is yours freely. Only two ways logically possible of attaining righteousness with God. One, by producing that righteousness yourself. Two, by receiving it as the free gift of God, as the product of another's obedience. Now, the Jews adopted the first, to produce their own righteousness, and they sought salvation on the basis of their own works. The amazing thing is, they took the most precious gifts of God, the most precious blessings of God, and they perverted them. Listen to what he says in Romans 9, Who are Israelites, verse 4, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever? You know, when I read that, I think of the words in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 23. What one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel? Never a nation in the history of the world like this nation. Think of that list of things they received. And especially remember the giving of the law. Do you remember when we were doing our studies in the law? I pointed out that God did something at that time that he never did before and he's never done again. And God came down in Mount Sinai. The mount was on fire. There were thunderings and lightnings. We have this vision of God taking the tables and writing with his own finger the Ten Commandments and giving them to Moses. And that's true, he did that. But never forget, on that day, this is what was unique. God actually spoke. He enunciated the Ten Commandments, speaking in a voice that the gathered millions of Israel could hear. They not only had the written word, the only time in history an entire nation heard the clearly pronounced words of the commandments spoken by the mouth of God himself. What nation is like this nation? God sent them a list of prophets. He gave them a pure worship. It's interesting when you go back to the Mosaic description of the tabernacle, how he uses the word pure. There's the pure oil. There's the pure candlestick. There's the pure table. God gave them a pure worship. And yet, they took it all and they perverted it into a system of works righteousness. The Gentiles, on the other hand, had no such great earthly heritage. I think of what Paul said of these Gentiles. He's writing to the Corinthian converts in 1 Corinthians 12. And in verse 2, he said, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. And yet these Gentiles, having lived in wicked heathen idolatry, carried away to dumb idols, heard the gospel." What news it was. What liberation it was. Forgiveness of sin. Acceptance with God. The imputed righteousness of Christ. Eternal life. And out of the dark caverns of man's corrupt religion, they flocked in their hundreds and in their thousands to embrace Christ. The very Christ of whom the Jews were ashamed. To them he was a stone of stumbling, a stumbling stone. That means what it says, simply a stone to stumble over. They tripped over him. A rock that caused them to fall. Ah, here, my friend, we go away beyond Jews and Gentiles. For you see, we come now to people who sit in Christian churches. Even in this church. And you too have a heritage like very few on the earth. While the vast millions of the world lay unevangelized, this nation had the gospel preached from shore to shore. While other countries and other peoples did not have the Word of God in their own language, this nation was reared on the reading and preaching of Holy Scripture. And then God sent a stream of prophets, preachers, evangelists, soul winners, mighty men of God. That's the heritage of this nation. But where are we tonight? Where are we? I'll tell you where we are. We're in a place where people have taken the very gifts of God and have perverted the whole revelation of God into a system of works righteousness. And I will make the apparently contradictory statement, but it is all too starkly true, that even in professed evangelical churches, what is being preached as the gospel has little to do with sovereign grace and has more to do with works righteousness. That's where we are. Furthermore, we have bred a people who think lightly of sin. Some of you kids growing up in this church, I want you to listen to me now. We've talked about my being here 25 years. We've talked about me reaching into senility this year and all the rest of it. It gives you a new perspective. You young folk, I want you to listen to me. You've grown up listening to the Word. You've grown up listening to the Gospel. And it is all too easy for you to adopt very lax, shallow views of sin and of God's law and of what it is to be saved, attaining a perfect righteousness with God. So that it is very easy for you to adopt a surface religion where you know how to nod your head at the right place and say the right word at the right time without having any heart experience. I've talked about attaining to a personal possession of the righteous merits of Christ as your basis for acceptance with God. It's easy for you to adopt a very shallow, skin deep profession of what sounds like Christianity without any heart engagement with Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that is the very curse that Paul was dealing with among the Jews, and now it's come home to roost in the Christian churches of America. Around the world, there are millions coming to Christ. It is reckoned by missiologists that perhaps the 20th century saw more people won for Christ than any century in history. It wasn't happening in America. It wasn't happening in England. It wasn't happening in Ireland. It wasn't happening in Wales, or in John Knox's Scotland, nor in Luther's Germany, nor in Calvin's Switzerland or France. Where are we? We are where Paul was, the people who had every advantage are stumbling over Christ. A stone of stumbling. I forget where I read it. Some old preacher had the very homespun remark, you can only stumble over Christ if you put him at your foot. I think that's clear, is it not? To some people, to some of you young folk even sitting here tonight, when I preach Christ to you, He's just a big rock in your way. He's barring your progress. He's something standing in your way in that vile and filthy and sensuous and sinful and selfish way you want to go. And you're stumbling over Him. Well, man, if you stumble over Christ and fall, remember where you're falling to. We'll never forget this. This stumbling and falling, this offense, is just a first taste of the judgment of God. I know that because the promise is to the believer, he shall not be ashamed. He'll not be put to shame. That there is a class of texts that run through the Bible on this matter of shame. And you will find that if you look at them carefully, it's a class of text that speaks of judgment. Judgment. What's it saying to you? If Christ is just a stone to stumble over, if to you He's just a rock to make you fall, to change the wording, if Christ is just someone you're ashamed of, then He has a word for you. Listen very carefully. Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me. Let me put this in context. The Lord Jesus is not talking about somebody who's saved, who's living for God, and sometime has an opportunity to witness and he's overcome by the fear of man and doesn't open his mouth. I remember times when that fear would grip me. Are you so ashamed of Christ you come under this awful condemnation? Well, we ought to get victory over the fear of man, surely, but that's not merely what he's talking about. This being ashamed of Christ is ashamed of his person and work. It is really a judgment that you're entering against Christ. It's a decisive judgment of rejection. But listen, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and of My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Notice the great contrast. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed, shall not be put to shame. Here are the two eternities. You see, I said there were two logical ways of attaining righteousness, only one real way. The two logical possibilities to prepare your soul to go out to meet God. And here are the two inevitable endings. If you choose the way of Christ's rejection, you choose it. We'll see that more clearly as we go down the 10th chapter. Don't blame the sovereignty of God, and don't blame your mama, your dad, or the place you were born in, or anything else. Don't blame any of it. You choose your own self-righteousness or your own way, and you stumble over Christ, and you fall over this rock of offense. You be ashamed of Him. The inevitable end is judgment. He'll be ashamed of you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.